Let me go into our lesson for today, which is on Methuselah. And I particularly entitled this lesson, The Messages of Methuselah. And what I mean by message in this case is really a lesson. Sometimes when someone sets a bad example in his conduct, we might say, well, what kind of message does that send to others? There's not a whole lot said about Methuselah in the Bible, but indeed we can get some messages from him and from the fact, and this is the salient fact about his life in the scriptures, he lived to be the oldest man on record. Methuselah lived, according to Genesis 5, verse 27, to be 969 years old. Again, the oldest man on record. We even have a proverb that we sometimes use today when we say that a person, because of his advanced age, is as old as Methuselah. Before we get into those particular lessons or messages we can learn from Methuselah, let me observe that this is the nature of the scriptures. That is, brief references nevertheless can give us some great lessons. All we know about Methuselah is what we gain from three passages in which he's mentioned in originally in Genesis, the fifth chapter, First Chronicles, and also in Luke, the third chapter. All of those places where he is mentioned, by the way, are genealogies. In other words, listings of people's lineages. And you might think that there's not much to learn from Methuselah. And as a matter of fact, genealogies don't appeal to people very much. If you were going to go and read some portion of the Bible just to get some lesson from it or maybe some encouragement from it, you would probably not go to the genealogies. But we can learn a great deal about Methuselah and his genealogies. And this shows that while not all parts of the Bible are equally important, nevertheless, all parts of the Bible are important. Some are more important than others, but all of them have something to say to us. And this is even true of Methuselah and his genealogy. There are a couple of questions we might deal with before we look at those messages or lessons from Methuselah. And the first of these is that some might ask, were their age, that is, our years, back in the days of Methuselah, the literal 365 years that people know today? This question is born of the fact that, you know, people find it hard to believe that someone really would have lived to be 969 years old, almost 1,000 years old. And there were others who lived to be quite old, hundreds of years old, according to Genesis, the fifth chapter. And so they find that hard to believe. And so they want to find a way to make that more believable. Let me say, first of all, and more generally, that this is a problem for people who approach the scriptures with some degree of skepticism or unbelief. And it is the idea that since this is so out of sync with what we experience today, therefore it cannot be possibly true. The flood, the universal flood during the days of Noah could not possibly be true, could not have really occurred because we've never experienced anything like that. Someone living to be almost 1,000 years old couldn't possibly have happened. That, you know, that must be a myth in the Bible. It must have been made up, you know, by the writers of scripture. We could go on and on with other examples. We need to be careful about the thinking that what we don't experience today could not have happened. Things change over a period of thousands of years. So just because We don't live to be nearly as old as 1,000 years old today. That doesn't mean it couldn't have happened in the past. As a matter of fact, I was doing just a little research before I came on, and I wanted to find out how old some of the oldest living organisms are that we have. Well, the oldest living organism that we know of today happens to be a plant, particularly the bristlecone pine tree, which lives in California. It just so happens that the oldest bristlecone pine tree is believed to be, and I guess they get this information from you know, coring, putting a core into the rings of the trees, or the trunk of the tree, and counting the rings. But supposedly, the oldest known organism is the bristlecone pine tree, and one of them is believed to be almost 5,000 years old. There's one individual called Methuselah, as a matter of fact, and he was found to be 4,872 years old. So really, that's way, way out of our experience, even for trees. But if you look at animals, the tortoise is believed to live a long time. As a matter of fact, there is one tortoise taken from the Seychelles Islands in the Indian Ocean and transferred to the island of St. Helena in the Atlantic Ocean. But anyway, there's one of those tortoises that is believed to be 187 years old, 187 years old, called Jonathan, as a matter of fact. But I'm sure there's no connection between that tortoise and the Jonathan that we know. But anyway, 187 years old. And some tortoises, I mean, this is kind of hard to measure, but some tortoises are believed to be perhaps as old as 400 to 500 years old. So I'm just giving you some examples of the fact that just because something is outside of our experience does not mean it could not have happened. We tend to measure things or determine the truthfulness of things or the believability of things by whether or not they agree with our experiences. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. And of course, the coronavirus from which we're suffering or which we're experiencing right now is an example. Did you ever think, would you have found it believable that people would have to be staying in their homes, and if they went out, everybody you would see would be wearing a mask and gloves? Did you ever think that day would come? No, because we've not experienced that before. So that's a more general point that I wanted to make. Aging seems to be something that is genetically based, and God could have changed the genetics in order to allow certain people to live longer. I will also say that we don't know, just because the lineage of Shem down through Noah, according to Genesis 5, those individuals lived to be so long, we cannot necessarily conclude that all individuals lived that long. The line of Shem was one of the sons of Adam, of course, from whom Jesus is descended. But the line of Shem was the messianic line then. In other words, it was the line from which Christ came. It is possible that Christ, or rather God, for that reason, might have arranged for these individuals to live longer. It's really an assumption to think that because they lived so long, that everybody at that time lived that long. But to answer the question, were their years the literal 365-day years that people know today? Well, we need to bear in mind that Moses was actually the author of Genesis. And so what we're really asking is, since he would have used years as he knew years to be, what we're really asking is, were years in the days of Moses, not in the days of Methuselah, but in the days of Moses, were they the 365-day years that we know? And yes, they were. And that's so when Moses said that Methuselah was 969 years old. He would have used years as we do. So in other words, point is, we should take the fact that Methuselah was 969 years old as literal. In other words, as the length of the years that we know today. It's interesting, though, that by the days of Moses, human years had, or the longevity of people had basically declined to what we experience today. It's interesting that of the 150 Psalms, and who wrote the Psalms? Well, we're inclined to say David, but it's interesting that only about half the Psalms, half of the 150 Psalms were written by David. Others were written by other people. And there's even one psalm that is attributed to Moses, and that's Psalm 90. So Moses says in Psalm 90, verse 10, "As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or due to strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away." 70 or 80 years of life. That's about what it is today. The same as it was in Moses' day. Moses, of course, himself lived to be 120 years, but apparently even by his standards of his day, that was getting to be, you know, pretty old. So were there years, 365 day years back in the days of Methuselah? Yes, that seems to be the case. Second question. Why did the ancients then live so long? Well, again, I addressed that somewhat when I said we can't assume that because those in the Messianic line, namely the descendants of Shem, lived that long, as we read in Genesis, the 5th chapter, that therefore every individual at that time lived that long. You know, that's at bottom, that's an assumption. They may have, you know, I don't know. But it's interesting that basically, for the most part, we're not really told how long people live to be. That's information that is not generally given to us in the scriptures. And the reason it is in the case of these individuals among the descendants of Shem in Genesis, the 5th chapter, is apparently because this is the Messianic line. Okay. But if it is true that people generally lived much longer in those days, why? Why? Well, again, the Bible doesn't tell us, but first of all, perhaps God allowed them to live longer to replenish the earth in order to fill it with people more quickly. Death rates can really bring down the population. I mean, people die, and if people die, you know, they've got to be replaced with others who are born. So this is a problem in some countries because the death rate is exceeding the birth rate. And that's going to be a problem for some countries, if not already. So perhaps God allowed people to live longer to replenish the earth more quickly, populate more quickly, that is. But also, perhaps the relatively pristine nature of the earth was more conducive to longer lives back then. Maybe as time went by, possibly as people became more sinful, disease began to spread, and as a result, people died sooner. Anyway, lives did become shorter, gradually shorter. Okay. So about the only thing said about Methuselah is his age and his genealogy, that is, who preceded him, who followed him. He seems to be mentioned in the Bible because he is part of the primary genealogy of the Bible. He's only mentioned in genealogies in Genesis 5. 1 Chronicles 1, verse 3 particularly, and Luke 3, verse 37. But his genealogy and great age serve as the basis of several interesting and important messages or lessons that we need to learn. The first of these, Here's the first message that we get from Methuselah. Methuselah's age, death, proves that the Bible is meticulously accurate, right down to its numbers, right down to its numbers. Now, there are cases when some numbers between the Old and the New Testaments or within each are kind of rounded off. That's true. But its mathematics are correct. I emphasize that because I think that helps to corroborate the fact that the Bible is divinely inspired. Otherwise, we would start finding some problems with some of their numbers. And, you know, you can do some addition and check out the accuracy of some of the numbers given in the Bible. And that is the case with Methuselah. Let me explain what I mean here. Methuselah's age, we're told in Genesis, the 5th chapter, at the time his son Lamech was born, was 187. We will add to that 182, because that was Lamech's age at the birth of Noah. So we can conclude from adding those two numbers together, 187 and 182, that Methuselah's age at the time his grandson Noah was born was 369. Now, to Noah, to that sum, we can add 600, because in Genesis 7, verse 6, it says Noah was 600 at the time the flood came upon the earth. So adding all of those up, what do we get? We get 969. Now, that's interesting, because 969 is not only how old Methuselah was when he died, but that was the year when the flood came upon the earth. Now, that's particularly interesting to me. 969 represents Methuselah's age and the year of the flood, which shows that if the number given for Methuselah's age at the time of his death had been 1 year more, just 1 year more, if he were 970 at the time he died, according to the Bible, you know what that would mean? That would mean there was a mistake in the numbers in the Bible. But that's not the case. It's very interesting. And this is somewhat of a basis for some of the other points that I'm going to make. We can determine that Methuselah died in the year of the flood. Okay. Very interesting. But that shows the mathematical accuracy of the Bible. Now, you may think that's no big deal. That's no big deal. But if you're like me, and I imagine most people are, you know, sometimes you may make small or even large mistakes when you add a group of numbers, okay? In my household, it has fallen out that I tend to write out the checks to pay the bills, and then I will keep a record of that in the check register, and I will bring down the balance every time I write out a check so we can keep up with how much we have in our checking account, as not to, write a check for more than you have in the account and so forth. That's important. So Leslie, nevertheless, is the one who each month will take the statement that we get from the bank, which says how much we've got in the account and so forth, and she will reconcile that statement with our records in the check register that I've created. And the interesting thing is that it's not that unusual. She will come in to me and she will say, well, you were off by 3 cents, or you were off by 10 cents, or maybe sometimes more than that. What's the point? My point is, listen, when I'm working with the numbers, even when I'm doing something as simple as addition and subtraction, I make mistakes. I'm mathematically challenged. Okay. Let me put it that way. I make mistakes, and we have to make some corrections then. As a matter of fact, this has happened enough that unless I'm in a hurry, I will use my calculator on my computer to make sure I've done my addition and subtraction correctly, because I've got it wrong enough that I don't trust myself to do it in my head. I rely on a calculator. And when I don't, sometimes I make mistakes. Okay. So it is important then to note that the Bible is mathematically correct about this. Methuselah died in the year of the flood. Okay. Second message then that we can learn from Methuselah is this. Long experience and old age do not ensure righteousness. As old as he was, Methuselah was a wicked man. Methuselah was a wicked man. Only Noah was said to be righteous in his generation. All others were morally or spiritually corrupt. They were sinful. Now, this is a pretty important point, so I do want to turn to the scriptures. It serves as a basis for some other things I want to say. So I want to establish this point rather firmly, because people might ask, well, how do you know Methuselah was a wicked man? Well, let's go to Genesis, the 6th chapter. Beginning with verse 5 especially, God begins to describe the moral and spiritual corruption of the people of the earth. It says beginning in verse five, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, if you drop down to verse 8, you see that Noah, though, is an exception to all of this wickedness in the world. It says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Let me read on through verse 12. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. And Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. And notice especially the last part of verse 12. For all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Notice it says all flesh. That is, all people had corrupted their way upon the earth. There were no exceptions except, of course, Noah and his family. Eight people were saved in the ark. Methuselah was not one of them. So we can draw from this that since all flesh, with the exception of Noah, who walked with God, and his family, wicked, then, well, Methuselah, who died in the year of the flood, he must have been one of those wicked people too. So that's important to establish for my points here. Methuselah was a wicked man. Now, it seems probable, therefore, that Methuselah died in the flood. Now, I've been challenged about this before. I cannot absolutely prove, of course, that he died in the flood. But as I've shown from the mathematics we've looked at already, he died in the year of the flood. And I'm just thinking probably it's doubtful that he would have lived 969 years and then died just before it started raining and the flood came. Possible, but I'm thinking, you know, unlikely. He probably died in the flood. Again, I emphasize probably. I cannot prove it absolutely. But think about that for just a moment. If he died in the flood, or he lived all of those years when the ark was being built, while Noah was preaching, 2 Peter 2 verse 5, has Peter referring to him as a preacher of righteousness? Genesis 6 indicates that from the time that God determined that he would destroy the earth with a flood, or at least from the time that he revealed to Noah that he would destroy the earth with a flood, 120 years lapsed. Okay? Or elapsed. So it's very possible that for 120 years before he died, Methuselah heard his grandson Noah preaching, repent, repent, or maybe a flood is going to come and wipe out the wicked people of the earth. So repent, and you'll be saved on the ark. And he was watching this ark going up day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, for 120 years possibly. Despite all of that, Methuselah did not repent. You know, you would think in a long life like that, he would have learned to repent of his sins. He would have learned the wisdom stated by Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, but apparently he did not. Of course, let me remind you of what Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, the last two verses in the book of Ecclesiastes, say. The conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. You would think that a man who lived as long as Methuselah did, almost 1,000 years, would have learned the wisdom of those words. But apparently he didn't. Even in his old age, with the footsteps of death approaching, he did not repent of his sins. Now, I don't mean to over-dramatize this, but can you imagine that Noah could not get his old grandfather to repent? Could you imagine Noah getting onto the ark finally, and then it's starting to rain, and there are indications people like at that time didn't even know what rain was. And it rains heavily, and the flood starts to come. The water starts to come. Old Methuselah, if he's still alive, Noah's grandfather, is making his way to the ark. Possibly, again, I don't mean to over-dramatize this. This is speculation on my part. I don't know that it happened, but it could have. Methuselah makes his way to the ark, starts pounding on the side of the ark. Let me in. I believe you now. Grandson, let me in. But it didn't happen. Imagine how that must have hurt Noah. So, long experience, old age, they don't ensure righteousness. Now, there's a lesson in there for us. Do not think, do not make the mistake of thinking that you can sin in youth. You can sin in your prime, and that you can depend upon repenting and being saved when you're old. No. Repeated sin, repeated sinfulness has a way of changing a person's outlook, his beliefs, his way of looking at life, his pattern of thinking. So don't think that after living a long life in sin, you can count on repenting just before you die or when you get old. Methuselah shows us you can't count on that. You can't count on that. If you want to be righteous when you die, the way to ensure that is to be righteous when you're young. Okay, the third point here. Let's move on. Another message we learned from Methuselah is that righteous family members do not ensure righteousness. Some people might think, okay, well, I come from a long line of Christians, therefore I'm sure to be saved. Not necessarily, not necessarily. Think about this. Methuselah's father and grandson. Who was his father? His father was Enoch, and we talked about Enoch, or we studied about Enoch last week. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, so that he did not experience death. Methuselah's father was an eminently righteous man. Who was Methuselah's grandson? Well, we've already said Noah. So it's interesting that for the first 300 years of his life, Methuselah was under the influence of his righteous father, Enoch. And then for about the last 600 years of his life, he was under the influence of his righteous grandson, Noah. But despite all of that good influence, Enoch himself was a wicked man. He even saw or knew about the outcome of his father Enoch's faith. Apparently, he was aware that his father had been translated, to use the term I used last week, taken by God so that he did not experience death. He was shown what he could expect then if he lived righteously. Apparently that was not adequate to ensure his righteousness. As I've already said, he witnessed the construction of the ark, heard the preaching of his grandson Noah. Apparently none of that brought him to repentance. So again, let me repeat. The influence or the presence in our lives of righteous family members does not ensure that we'll be righteous and that we'll be saved. We have to allow them to have that good influence upon us. Let's press on to the fourth message that I want to gather from the life of Methuselah, what scriptures say about him. And that is that hearing much preaching does not ensure repentance. He heard good preaching. Jude verses 14 and 15, we looked at those last week, refers to his father, Enoch, prophesying. So apparently his father was a prophet. But despite his father's prophesying, his son Methuselah was wicked. And then, as I've already said, he must have heard Noah's preaching over a long period of time. Noah must have been a preacher of righteousness for possibly as long as 120 years. I get that again from the early part of Genesis, the sixth chapter, where the 120 years is cited there. That's God said, yet his years, man's years before the flood would be 120 years. So he heard apparently a lot of prophesying or preaching, but yet that did not bring him to repentance. The next point, the fifth one. Methuselah failed to learn from the mistakes of others. Now, again, this point involves a little bit of math. You can check it out. As a matter of fact, I had to do my math all the way up until this morning to make sure that I got it right. I even went an additional step and said, will you add up these numbers, Leslie, and see if I got them right? Because I'll have to admit I had to change them around at least three times. I think I finally got it right. You can check me out. If you'd like to do a little math, you can go to Genesis, the fifth chapter, and check me out about this. But if I'm correct, and I think I am, Methuselah's life, or Adam's life, overlapped that of Methuselah by 238 years. Again, this is to say that Methuselah, you can put it another way, Methuselah was 238 years old when Adam, the first man directly created by God, died. Their lives, Adam's and Methuselah's, overlapped by 238 years according to the information that we have in Genesis, the fifth chapter. Now think about that. Methuselah, therefore, could have known Adam personally. As a matter of fact, I would think at some point, at least once in those 238 years, even if they didn't live geographically real close to one another, Methuselah would have said, you know, I want to see the first man who ever lived. I want to see my ancestor, my original ancestor. I want to go talk to Adam. And he would have gone to Adam and would have talked to him. He might have talked to him quite a bit over the course of 238 years of life. So, what would Adam have said to Methuselah Well, of course, we don't know. But I would imagine that Adam would have told him, you know, one time I lived in paradise. It was great. Had everything that I needed. Life was beautiful. You know, all this sweating we have to do now to, you know, work the earth and grow crops so that we can eat and sustain ourselves. I didn't have to do any of that until I sinned. I disobeyed God. Then life got pretty hard, not only for me, but for everybody else. And that was because of sin. I imagine that Adam could have told Methuselah that. But if he did tell him that, apparently that didn't sink in enough with Methuselah because he continued in his sins anyway. Even though Adam, the first man, was able to tell him or could have told him, listen, sin, not a good thing, brings a lot of pain into your life, so don't sin. Okay. This, I believe, is the sixth and final point that I want to make. The message that we can get from Methuselah is also 1,000 years in sin are not worth an eternity in hell. Methuselah enjoyed whatever pleasures sin could offer him for 1,000 years or almost 1,000 years. But if he could speak to us now, what do you think he would say? Oh, 1,000 years in sin, great. Worth every bit of it. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. If he's lost now, he would certainly say, you know, I lived 1,000 years in sin. And during those 1,000 years, I committed about every sin, or I tried to avail myself of every pleasure you might be able to conceive of. But I'll tell you, not even 1,000 years in sin is worth what I'm experiencing right now for eternity. Now think about that. The reason we should think about that is because people today will go to hell for eternity for a lot less time spent in sin. I mean, people, as we saw, might average, I think the average for lifespan in the United States now is 70-something years. That's the average lifespan. So people, in most instances, it would appear, would rather live even just 70 years in sin and go to hell for it. Of course, they convince themselves, I guess, that they're not going to hell. But nevertheless, in reality, that's what's happening. Listen, folks, it's not worth it. If Methuselah were here today, he could tell you, listen, I lived a long life, and I lived it in sin. But I'm telling you right now, it wasn't worth it. Not even that long life was worth spending an eternity in hell for. So let me move now to the conclusion. Now, things might have been much different for Methuselah if he had used his long life for good instead of evil. Of course, one of the great mysteries is why he didn't. But the messages of Methuselah ring out loudly. And we could put this statement as an umbrella over all of these other messages that we have learned from Methuselah today. And that is, just don't make his mistakes. Don't make the mistakes he made.